You know, I've always thought that hurricanes were something that mankind could possibly do without. But I've learned some things since I thought that, and I've found out that hurricanes are actually a very important part of balancing nature. These tropical storms with high winds and torrential rain and all of the other aspects that come with it, the glaring lightning and the booming thunder, all of it have an important part in our ecological system. As a matter of fact, I learned that hurricanes actually, according to scientists, do much good. For example, they are very important to dissipating the intense heat that centers at the equator. Not only that, I've learned that hurricanes also are indirectly an important part of the rainfall that occurs in both North and South America. So many years ago, meteorologists, they thought that seeding clouds was an important thing to try to prevent hurricanes, but they've stopped that because they've learned that the hurricanes and all of the storm, as difficult as it may be, and the pain and suffering that it may cause, in the end, it does a lot of good. You know, the truth of the matter is, that's also true in your spiritual life. Both afflictions and adversity may cause temporary pain and suffering, but in the end, they bring great eternal reward. Today we're going to continue our study of the life of Joseph, who was an overcomer. And we're going to look into the life of Joseph, and we're going to learn how overcoming adversity helps us to be grounded in God's truth. And one of the things that we're going to find in the life of Joseph is that though Joseph was walking through difficult days, he was never forsaken. And I want to tell you this morning, I know things may be difficult. I imagine that many of you have suffered sickness, and some of you are concerned financially for the situation you find yourselves in. But can I say to you, with the authority of God's word and the promises that he gives us, you will not be forsaken. The reality is we have a resurrected Savior, and the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ has conquered death, hell, and the grave. And I want to promise you this morning that he says he will never leave you or forsake you. I can't imagine what Joseph must have felt like in those days when his family had forsaken him. Today we're going to turn in our Bibles and we're going to look at what the scripture says in Genesis chapter 37 and also in chapter 39. In a moment, I'm going to read beginning in verse 18 of chapter 37, and I'm going to read all the way through verse 28. And then we're going to go over to chapter 39 and read the first six verses. And as we do, I want you to think about the adversity that Joseph must have faced. I can well imagine that he probably faced the adversity of the rejection of his family. As a matter of fact, in verse 20, the Bible says in chapter 37 that his brothers actually tried to kill his dreams. I believe that he probably faced the adversity of his lost job, his lost freedom, and even he felt abandonment. In verse 23, you're going to see that they took his coat of many colors that identified him as the favored son. His brothers tried to rip away his very identity that he had found from his father. Listen as we read God's word, beginning in chapter 37 and in verse 18. When they saw him from a distance, and before he came close to them, they plotted against him to put him to death. They said to one another, "Here comes this dreamer. Now then, come and let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits, and we'll say, 'A wild beast devoured him.' Then let us see what will become of his dreams." But Reuben heard this and rescued him out of their hands, said, "Let's not take his life." Reuben further said to them, "Shed no blood. Throw him into this pit that is in the wilderness, but don't lay hands on him, that he might rescue him out of their hands to restore him to their father." So it came about when Joseph reached his brothers that they stripped Joseph of his tunic, the very colored tunic that was on him, and they took him and threw him into the pit. Now the pit was empty without any water in it. And they sat down to eat a meal, and they raised their eyes, and looked, behold, a caravan of Ishmaelites was coming from Gilead with their camels bearing aromatic gum and balm and myrrh. They were on their way to bring them down to Egypt. And Judah said to his brothers, "What profit is it for us to kill our brother and cover up his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay our hands on him, for he is our brother, our own flesh." And his brothers listened to him. Then some Midianite traders passed by, so they pulled him up and lifted Joseph out of the pit, and they sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver, and thus they brought Joseph into Egypt. Now, turn in your Bible to chapter 39, and we're going to pick up there in verse 1. So if you'll remember the story, Joseph had actually come into conflict with his brothers. He had told his father and his brothers about his dreams, and they hated him, is what the Bible says about his brothers. And when they saw him, because the father sent Joseph to check up on his brothers when they were minding the sheep, the Bible says that they plotted against him, sold him into slavery. Now in chapter 39, beginning in verse 1, Joseph is now in slavery in Egypt. So Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an Egyptian officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the bodyguard, bought him from the Ishmaelites, who had taken him down there, and the Lord was with Joseph. So he became a successful man. He was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Listen to verse 3. "And now this master saw that the Lord was with him." I hope that during these days that people will look at our lives and they'll say, man, God is with them. Notice what it says, "and how the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hand." So Joseph found favor in his sight became his personal servant, and he made him overseer over his house. And all that he owned, he put in his charge. And it came about that from the time he made him overseer in his house and over all that he owned, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house on account of Joseph. Thus, the Lord's blessing was upon all that he owned in the house and in the field. So he left everything he owned in Joseph's charge, and with him there he did not concern himself with anything except the food which he ate. Now, Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. Now, when you read this passage of Scripture, you can't help but notice that Joseph was going to face adversity. He was rejected by his brothers. He was put into a pit. He was sold into slavery. He was then put into Potiphar's house. Later, we're going to learn that he was actually put into prison. And it seemed like over and over again, Joseph faced one adversity after another. As a matter of fact, we're going to learn from Joseph that he demonstrated a life that was well anchored when hit by the storms of adversity. I want you to listen to two scripture passages that I think are important. First, 2 Corinthians 4 says, "We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed." And now listen to Proverbs 24, verse 10. "If you are slack in the day of distress, your strength is limited." Now, I want to say to you this morning, when the storms of adversity blow against your life, you can actually demonstrate a life that is anchored in God's truth. And when you're anchored in God's truth, you can overcome every adversity that comes your way. I don't think it's any accident that several weeks ago, God had laid on my heart this series of messages to share with you called Overcomer, the Life of Joseph. I really sensed in my spirit that the Lord was leading in this direction, and in some ways I wanted to go in another direction, but God kept bringing me back to this text, and I'm amazed at God's timing and how together today we need to learn how to not only survive, but how you and I can thrive by living out the principles of God's Word in our lives. I want to give you two principles today that we're going to find in these texts in the life of Joseph. First of all, spiritual growth and opportunity are born out of adversity. Spiritual growth and opportunity are born out of adversity. Now, when you read this passage, one of the things that you realize is that God was at work in Joseph's life. When you look around and you see what's happening in our nation and in the world, people are living in such fear, but I can promise you that God is not absent. He hasn't removed his sovereign providential care over the universe. He is at work in our lives. Now, out of this adversity, there is spiritual opportunity for every one of us. Notice with me that we learn that God has a purpose for your adversity. If you were to turn in your Bible to Genesis chapter 45 and you were to look in verses 5 through 8, when Joseph encounters his brothers, he says, "God sent me to preserve life." When you read this passage of Scripture and you begin in chapter 37 and you see what takes place in Joseph's life, now, I can't begin to imagine what Joseph must have thought when his brothers threw him into the pit. Now, I don't know how far away the pit was from where they were having their meal, but I can well imagine that Joseph may have been yelling, "Get me out! Somebody get me out!" Now, I bet your prayers may have been like that in these days. "Lord, would you get us out of this mess?" And then one of his brothers said, "Well, let's don't kill him. Let's just sell him." Could you imagine hearing those words? My guess is that Joseph really didn't see the hand of God at work yet, But it was an opportunity for spiritual growth in his life, because later we see that he understood that God was at work in every bit of it. And I'm excited about the day that we're going to hear testimonies of how every one of you say, I have seen God at work in my life through this adversity. James 1 says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. 1 Peter 5:10 says, after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Probably the most well-known passage in Joseph's life is from chapter 50 and in verse 20. When he says to his brothers, after his dad has died, and they become fearful that Joseph is going to retaliate now that their dad is no longer around. And Joseph makes this statement, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Spiritual growth and opportunity are born out of adversity because God has a purpose for your adversity. Now, there are two questions that you and I need to ask ourselves. Whenever we face adversity, we should ask, is this a consequence of my personal sin? Every adversity that we face is not a consequence of our personal sin, but sometimes we do face things that are a direct result of choices that we make in our lives. The second question that we ought to be asking right now, because coronavirus, COVID-19, is not a consequence of your sin. So what's the second question we should ask? Is this God's providence at work to make me like Christ? Is this God's providence at work to make me like Christ? In other words, what spiritual growth and opportunity is taking place in you because of the adversity that God is allowing you to go through in this moment? Franklin Graham with Samaritan's Purse told the story several years ago that when Angola was going through so much civil unrest that the country was devastated in every way, economically and infrastructure, everything. And one of Samaritan Purse's workers had gone to Angola and was riding in a truck with this guy through the countryside trying to deliver goods and help people. And he noticed that there were potholes everywhere. The road was just a mess. But the driver, as he was driving, he would hit almost every pothole that he came to. And the Samaritan's Purse worker noticed that there had been some road repair and there were smooth sections that the driver would avoid. So after a little while driving and hitting every hole, the aid worker with Samaritan's Purse asked the driver, why are you hitting every pothole and avoiding the smooth spots? And the driver looked at him and said, sir, the smooth spots are where the landmines are located. You see, sometimes you and I live our lives in the lane that's smooth. And sometimes when things are easier, we don't realize the traps of the enemy. God has a purpose for this adversity. But there's something else we learn from the life of Joseph. God is personal and specific when he allows adversity in your life. As a matter of fact, when you study this passage, God put his finger on the place that Joseph needed to be touched the most. Joseph, if you remember, to some degree was an arrogant young man, flaunting his coat of many colors, tattling on his brothers, taking the gift of God's dreams that had been given to him and sharing them in a way that created this angst with his family. And as a result of that, God was going to work in Joseph's life, listen, to humble him, to teach him how to obey orders, and he was also going to take him and teach him how to trust God and how to work. Think about it. He's taken out of the pit. He's sold into slavery. He's put into the home of Potiphar, where, yes, he prospered and did well, but all through the process, God took away a coat of honor that identified him as someone special and put on him robes of a servant and said, learn to obey. God puts his finger in adversity on your life and my life to teach us something. And God will put his finger specifically on an area of your life that God is wanting to grow you. This adversity is an opportunity for spiritual growth in your life. So God is personal and specific when he allows adversity in your life, but God also wants you to know his presence in your adversity. So from the life of Joseph, we learn this first principle. Spiritual growth and opportunity are born out of adversity. But there's a second principle that we're going to learn in this passage from the life of Joseph. Here's what it is. Adversity is overcome as a process and a perspective. In other words, overcoming the adversity in your life is not always instantaneous. We like things quick. We want this thing to be over now. I do as well. I'm getting lots of emails and texts of people saying, boy, I miss my church. I wish we could gather. I do too. I don't know how long this is going to last, but it's not getting out of the adversity that is our resolve. Our resolve is to get through this adversity with faith, hope, and love. And so overcoming adversity is a process and a perspective. Listen to this verse in Jeremiah 12, verse 5. It's one of my favorite verses in Jeremiah. If you have run with the footmen and they have tired you out, then how can you compete with horses? If you fall down in a land of peace, how will you do in the thicket of the Jordan? If you're going along the smooth lanes of life and never face any adversity and you continue to stumble and your walk with God is not growing and you're cold and indifferent to the things of the Lord, if you're not maturing in your faith, becoming bolder in your witness and standing firm when things aren't easy, and how are you going to do when things get harder? There's three things that help us with this process and perspective. Number one, if you're going to overcome adversity, be prepared. Trust God's promises. Be prepared. Trust God's promises. You know, when you read about the life of Joseph, it doesn't say that much about what happened until he got into Potiphar's house. I imagine that there were those days and nights that Joseph probably said to himself in that journey from where he was with his brothers when he was sold by the Ishmaelites to Potiphar. God, what happened to that dream? God, what happened to the promise that you were going to elevate me to a place of prominence and use me? You know what I believe Joseph had to do? I believe that Joseph had to live trusting the promises that had already been revealed because what he was looking at didn't seem bright at the moment. Can I say to you that there are those times in adversity, things do seem hard. Life can get gray and sometimes dark. But what you and I have is the promise of God that is found in the Word of God, that what God has spoken into our lives, we can pick up our Bibles, and when everybody else is shaken, we will not be shaken. We are not forsaken because we trust in the God of the promises and believe that the promises of God will come to pass. You overcome adversity because it's a process and a perspective. Be secure. Be prepared. Well, it was be prepared, trust God's promises, and be secure, rest in God's presence. Turn back to chapter 39, and I want you to look at what it says in verse 2. The Lord was with Joseph. And then in verse 3, now his master saw that the Lord was with him. Amy Carmichael, the great missionary to India, wrote, "When we are facing the impossible, we can count upon the God of the impossible." So not only are we going to be prepared by trusting God's promises, but we are secure because we are resting in God's presence. Right now, though we cannot be physically together, I promise you that he has never forsaken you. And when the disciples were so concerned about what in the world is going to happen if you go away, Jesus said, "I will not leave you an orphan, but I will send a comforter, the Holy Spirit, and he will be with you and in you and live through you." I want to encourage you to overcome the adversity in your life today by resting in the security that you have the indwelling presence of the living Christ who loves you. Now, here's the question. The Bible says that his Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Do you know this morning that Jesus Christ is your Savior and your Lord? Do you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin? Do you believe that Jesus literally and physically rose from the dead? And that there was a moment in your life when you turned from your sin and you cast yourself on the mercy of God and you asked Jesus to be your Savior and Lord, and the Holy Spirit had been drawing you to the Savior, and that you were born into the family of God spiritually. Do you have the security of knowing that Christ is yours? If so, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Overcoming adversity requires being prepared. Remember God's promises. Joseph had to. Rest in the security of God's presence. The Lord was with him. Hebrews 6:19 says, "This hope we have as an anchor for the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters the veil." Psalm reminds us in Psalm 34, verse 19, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of all of them." Overcoming adversity requires you to be prepared, to be secure, but it also requires you to be faithful. I don't believe that the Lord would have been with Joseph if Joseph hadn't sought to be faithful to the Lord. See, when we read this passage in chapter 39, God was at work in Joseph's life, breaking down his pride, breaking down his identity, breaking down him in every way so that God may build him up and exalt him at the right time.
God may be using this adversity in all of our lives to remind us that our sufficiency is not in ourselves. It is not in our health. It is not in our finances. It's not in anything other than the reality of a God in heaven who sent his son to die and rise again that we might have life, not just in this world, but the ultimate reality of life with him forever. And so God says, you overcome by being faithful, by striving in God's power. Two principles. Spiritual growth and opportunity are born out of adversity. And you overcome adversity because it's a process and a perspective. Are you allowing God to do in you in this season what he desires? And is your perspective, Lord, I'm going to be faithful, I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to believe your promises? Remember, when the storms of adversity blow, and they blow hard against your life, you can demonstrate a life that is anchored in God's truth. And though you may not see it today, you can see tomorrow, looking back, how God has been at work in all of our lives. The story is told that a daughter complained to her dad about how hard things were for her. She said, as soon as I solve one problem, another one comes up. Dad, I'm tired of struggling. Her father was a chef. And so the dad took his daughter to the kitchen where he filled three pots with water and placed each on a high fire. And when the water came to a boil, in one pot he put carrots, in the second eggs, and in the last ground coffee beans. So after they'd been boiling for a while, his dad took the carrots out and put them in a bowl. He took the eggs out of their pot and put them in a bowl, and then he poured the coffee into a bowl. And he said to his daughter, what do you see? She said, carrots, eggs, and coffee. Some of you are drinking coffee right now, and you're thinking, I like this. The dad looked at his daughter, and he brought her closer, and he asked her to feel the carrots, and she did, and noted they were soft. He asked her to take an egg and break it. And after pulling off the shell, she observed the hard-boiled egg. Finally, he asked her to sip the coffee. She smiled as she tasted the rich flavor. The dad looked at his daughter, and here's what he said. The egg was fragile. Its thin outer shell had protected its liquid interior. But after sitting through the boiling water, its inside hardened. The ground coffee beans were unique, however. By being in the boiling water, they changed the water. The carrots were hard and they became soft. He asked his daughter, when adversity knocks on your door, which one are you? Are you going to be changed by this adversity? And are you going to be a change agent for where God has placed you? To be used for his glory, his good, and your good as well. The Bible reminds us over and over again, what others may have meant for evil, God meant it for good. Can I encourage you this morning that God is at work? In every bit of all of the adversity that we face, God is at work. Now, I don't want anybody to get sick. I'm praying for you. And I want you to pray for me and my family that we don't get sick. But what I know is that in these moments, as God is shaping and molding us into the image of his son, Jesus, God is wanting to work through all of this adversity to grow us and to help us be a testimony to the greatness of his son. This morning, when your life is slammed I mean, the rain is coming down hard, the wind is howling, lightning is frightening, and thunder is loud. God says you can stay anchored when you are anchored in the truth of God's word. In a moment, they're going to put a slide up that tells you how you can contact a pastor, how you can text or call or email, and we'll be glad to respond to you. If you're here listening and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, we would love to talk with you about how you can know Him. Maybe this morning you are a believer, but you just need somebody to pray with you and encourage you. Would you call us? Would you text us? Would you email us?